This is Cashing Out with your host, Dustin Sweetelson, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on Cashing Out, I'm Dustin Sweetelson, coming to you as always from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. An update on the college football game in primetime tonight. SMU with a 24-17 lead on the road in Tallahassee. However, the Noles are driving, and the Noles just got a call in their favor. I think there's going to be defensive pass interference on SMU, and I don't think that's the correct call. That looks like two players hung up with each other and tangled up. Oh, no, it's not going to be a pass interference. Never mind. They took the flag off the field, I guess. It's a 3rd and 4 now. I'm not sure exactly what happened. Florida State facing a 3rd and 4 from their own 31-yard line. 11:22 to go in the fourth quarter, and they are losing by 7 as Ashton Daniels tries to use his legs to make a play, and he's going to get a first down, taking a little pop out of bounds. That will move the chains and give Florida State another chance at this thing. We're looking at a spread right now. SMU laying 6.5, totals 51.5. I kind of like the under here. I don't think Florida State's scoring on this drive. I don't buy them. The only thing that would kill the under would be SMU coming back the other way and scoring a touchdown. I'll keep you updated on what transpires here in this game throughout the rest of the night. But it is time to go to the Progressive Guest Line, lock in some plays in Major League Baseball for Tuesday, and more importantly, week one in the National Football League. Joining us now, as he always does on Mondays, it's Jeff Erickson, senior editor of rotowire.com, at Jeff_Erickson on X, and he joins us now on Cashing Out. What's up, Jeff? I know you're not normally a college football guy, but have you had the game on in the background? Do you know it was like a two-hour delay because of power?
Oh, yeah. So I am a college football
guy. Oh, you
are? I just don't, you know, there are people better than me out there at betting it and advocating for certain sides. So I just play along. I mean, I'm a fan. I'm just not an expert. But there's offsetting penalties on that play, by the way. There's like a tripping penalty on the Florida State lineman there that offset the PI, which I agree with you. I do not think it was a PI, but hey, it's a home it's a home field call there. If the refs could see it, you know, it's a little dark. Anyways. And a lot of people having lots of fun and well-deserved at Florida State's expense there and the ACCs and all that as well. But I can't wait for Ohio State, Texas this weekend, the rematch here. Now that Arch is a different quarterback now, I think this could be a fun game.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out how real it is, right, against Ohio State, because if he has a monster performance, all of a sudden the Heisman talk, like we're already in week two, the Heisman could be on the line with that matchup down in Austin, Texas. But I want to get your thoughts on the NFL as Florida State just picked up some more yards on the ground, leading to a second and a probably about 6 situation here, under 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, 24-17 SMU with the lead. You've got a few plays already tied up here for week one, so I want to get your thoughts on this. The Bills and the Houston Texans, this one being played in Houston. Buffalo's laying 1.5 on the road. Totals 45.5. What stood out to you in this matchup?
Okay, so first of all, a lot of people are playing in guillotine leagues. I wanted to point out this just, you need to pay attention to matchups when you're drafting guillotine leagues. You got to get through week one. Josh Allen got sacked 8 times at Houston last year in a miserable Thursday night game, had some tack on yards late on some trick plays. The only thing that salvaged his game, but he didn't throw a passing touchdown in that game. It was a no good, lousy, horrible experience if you had Josh Allen last year. I think this was maybe even a fantasy playoff game last year. So if you're in a guillotine league, you should not be spending a second round pick on Josh Allen or a third round pick on Josh Allen, because chances are he's not going to have that dominant performance. My weekly rankings are coming out later tonight. He was not my top quarterback for the week. I am full buy-in on the Houston Texans and their defense. I think they found a way to make it better. They improved at safety. They improved at the interior defensive line. The question is, did they fix their running game at all? Can they at least be decent running the ball? Can CJ Stroud not give away the game? If so, I think Houston should be getting the 2.5 points here. I think 2.5 points here. I think they should be favored at home. I think they are one of the same elite teams, should be spoken in the same breath as the Bills, and they're getting points at home. I like it.
Wow, that is a strong statement. I love to hear it. Jeff Erickson is our guest, rotowire.com senior editor, at Jeff_Erickson on X, and Florida State is about to tie it up. A nice little pass to the running back. Looked like a screen, and he just took it, Singleton, 39 yards to the house. This game has been crazy. We're about to be tied up at 24s with 8:17 to go. Your other play you like coming up in week one, Green Bay going to Minnesota. Vikings and Kyler Murray laying 1.5 in his debut. 46.5 is the total. What jumps out here?
Two things. I like the over in this one here. Even though I really love Brian Flores and I think the Minnesota defense is going to be nails by the end of the year, I think they're going to be a little shaky early on because they replaced three quarters of their defensive line. I think there might be some rust there as they try to figure out the right blitz packages. And Jordan Love's really good at football. And I think they're going to have to unleash him a little bit more. So I think they're going to be throwing the ball a little bit more. I like playing the Love props. I like drafting Love in fantasy as a guy that I wait on quarterbacks. Give me Christian Watson or give me Jaden Reed, maybe even Matthew Golden in fantasy. Start looking into their props. I think that that's fine. But I do like Minnesota to score on Green Bay as well. Green Bay has untested corners, untested or bad corners, your choice. No Micah Parsons, obviously, is a big, big deal on this defense. They didn't add this offseason. This is a team that was trying to extricate itself from some cap issues there. So they did not aggressively add to this team, especially defensively. I understand health was a big reason why they struggled late in the season, but it's not an upper tier defense right now. I think this could be a higher scoring game. I like the over 46.5 in this one. And if forced to pick a side, I like the Viking side as well.
You heard it here first, people. Jeff Erickson's a romantic. He loves love. Jeff Erickson loves love. He said it here first, joining us on Cashing Out. Before we get to baseball, I want to get your thoughts on the two early week games in the NFL. We'll get started with the Super Bowl rematch. It's on a Wednesday. It's weird. New England's significantly better. But on the other side, I don't know if we've ever had a Super Bowl champion more disrespected than the Seahawks the following season. Seattle's laying 3.5 at home. Total's 44.5. Does anything catch your eye that you're thinking about in this matchup?
So, yeah, it's interesting because obviously they thumped the Patriots in the Super Bowl. There was a couple of plays that Darnold didn't get turnovers on in that Super Bowl, though, that could have changed the flow of this game. You know, we were big on on Seattle in the Super Bowl last year. They lost some significant personnel on the defensive side of the ball, especially at corner, and they have some injuries in the defensive backfield. And meanwhile, the Pats added A.J. Brown and Romeo Doubs. So I can see why there's some positive energy going towards the Pats here. I'm going to be a square. I kind of just like Seattle -3.5 on this one here, though. I think that they're still elite, even with these issues in their secondary. I still think that is, and they're going to be so ramped up at home on this one here. This is a total square play. I'm not going to lie. I do feel a little bit on this Seattle side here.
Yeah, I don't know how square it's going to be, just because I think so many people are going to talk themselves in the Patriots with the A.J. Brown addition and some of the other moves in the offseason, getting a year better. So I don't hate where you're looking with Seattle. What about Thursday? NFC West matchup, this one down under in Australia, the two different travel plans. The Rams basically showing up, getting off the plane, going straight to the stadium. The Niners have been there for a couple days now. L.A.'s laying 3.5, total's 48.5. What are you looking at here?
So they did this last year, the Rams did, with the Jacksonville game in London. And they just murder, death, killed the Jaguars in that game, if you recall. It was over really quick in that one there. That said, I think it's a longer flight it's a very odd approach for them. Might work. Hey, who knows? There's some things that really bother me about the Niners, though. I don't think they're going to have a pass rush yet. Nick Bosa, we'll see if he accelerates some of his practice activity by tonight, tomorrow. The days throw me. I'm not going to lie about that. The McCaffrey thing last night / this morning about him not practicing with the at the open part of practice. No Pearsall. They're really counting on Stribling to have an immediate contribution. We'll see how many snaps Kittle plays. I think that the Niners are going to have a hard time stopping the Rams. I really like the over 48. I dig into some team totals here on this one as well. The only thing that throws me about the Rams is just the travel time and just the lack of time there. It's an interesting throwdown about which performance is going to, which strategy works better there. But I'm feeling the Rams on this, and I'm feeling the Rams team total on this one.
Chatting with Jeff Erickson, rotowire.com senior editor at Jeff_Erickson on X. Let's go to Major League Baseball. Houston's in Philadelphia on Tuesday. Andrew Painter is a -150 favorite at home. Hayden Wesneski, +$1.24 on the road. Total right now, I'm looking at 9, 8.5, depending on where you shop. How do you want to play this one?
Okay, so I'm buying the Hayden Wesneski breakout. He's healthy, coming back from Tommy John. I am a little concerned about him maybe not going super deep into this game, but keep in mind the Astros had the day off today, so they get that rest day for their bullpen. I think that's huge. All their key pitchers should be well-rested if there is a lead to protect. I love the under 9 on this one here. Minus 118 at FanDuel. You can see it at 8.5 at other outlets. Probably get a better price if you're inclined to give away the hook. That's fine. Andrew Painter in his last three starts, 20 strikeouts, 4 earned runs. He's since getting the call back up, his swing and miss has been so much higher, over 13%. Early on in the start of the season, it was down around 10%. So he's really kind of stepped that up there and has finally started to translate into more strikeouts. I don't mind the Houston money line here because I do think even with Painter having a better run lately, they've got the better starting pitcher in this one. Best price I found on the Houston money line was plus 126 at Circa.
And then, Jeff, real quickly, about 30 seconds. Angels are in Boston. Detmers versus Sandoval. You can get plus $1.30 with the Angels, and you think with the better pitcher, Detmers, that's the way to look?
Yeah, I think so. Detmers is the better pitcher. Sandoval, he's home, road. He's got, whip around 1.7. You know, his ERA is in the mid-4s, but it could be worse. Could be a lot worse. And Detmers, he's better at home than he is on the road, but I think he's had a fine breakout season there. I'm getting good plus money on the better pitcher. Let's go for it.
He's Jeff Erickson. Read him at rotowire.com. Check him out on X at Jeff_Erickson. Appreciate the time as always, buddy. Good luck with the bets.
Anytime, sweet. Take care.
While we're away, Florida State intercepted SMU. They have a chance to take the lead in the fourth quarter. We go through it together on Cashing Out.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on Cashing Out, I'm Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out with you all night long from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. This game has been absolutely hideous. While we're away, Florida State with a 3-and-out forced to punt it back to SMU as they have not been able to figure things out offensively through the air. On the ground, Florida State's been tremendous. They have run for $179 here. However, with an opportunity coming off an interception, they do nothing with that opportunity. They give it back to SMU, 4.5 minutes remaining in the contest. And Kevin Jennings, off that interception drive, now with a chance to play the hero. He just took a pop. That might have been a little helmet to helmet there on the reaction. SMU's laying 3.5 in this tie game. Total's 54.5. We're at 48 points scored. Market believes there's going to be a touchdown in this one, if not a couple scores. I don't necessarily believe. I lean under 54.5, but I'm not touching it. I'm on SMU money line, minus 140, and they're about to face a 3rd-and-1 with 4:05 to go in the game. 24 all. That's where we're at. They're laying 2.5 now, but it's a minus 220 juice. Minus 140 on the over 54.5. You can get +$1.10 on the under 54 and a hook. Third down today, Florida State is 2-for-13. SMU, who has the football right now, they are 7-for-12. They've been very good at getting home when they need to. Can they convert here right around midfield, working from their own 47-yard line? They're going to run it up the gut. And, oh no, he bounces off, and now he takes off to the left side. That is a huge run. Oh, the Cal transfer. Rafael with the burst. However, there's a flag on the field, and I think this is coming back on a hold. What was that play? I swore the running back ran right into the line of scrimmage and was getting tackled. Next thing I know, I see number 6, Kendrick Rafael, bouncing to the outside for a huge gain. And it looks like it's on SMU. Oh, no. What happened here? Norvell's pointing at something. Holding, offense, SMU. Oh, looks like holding. They just, 2 holdings on the offense? Is that what they're calling? Holding on a receiver, Randy Pittman, which I'm assuming opened up a huge gap in the field for Rafael to run through. Oh, man, that is brutal, man. Absolutely brutal. Oh, yeah, it's a hold. 100%. He had a defensive end where he had a handful of his jersey, and that defensive end could have made the tackle on Rafael. So 100% it impacted the play. That's the correct call. We don't love that for our ticket, but they did get it right. 3:25 to go. It's now a 3rd and 10 for SMU. We mentioned they've been good all day, right? 7-12 on third down. It just got a little bit more challenging. I wonder with them being on the road, if they pick up 7-8 yards, if they would go for it. I don't know if they would. I think they would have to trust their defense. Jennings is being pressured. He's on the move, throws across his body, has a man, and it's caught. SMU converts. They move it along. They cross midfield. Now with 3:04 to go, if you're the Mustangs, you got to slow this puppy down. You got to pull back a little bit here. Reel it in. Use up some clock. Get into field goal range. Use up some clock, but do not score quickly here. Don't give Florida State another chance. And more importantly, stop making mistakes. Making so many mistakes today. Fumble on the opening drive. Offsides on a field goal attempt from Florida State, which ultimately leads to a touchdown for them. Botching a punt that was direction. So many, and a couple of interceptions. One in the end zone with a chance to go up 2 scores. Now here, you got to be careful with the football. They pin on a screen, but there's a flag on the play, and I think it's coming back for another hold on SMU. Let's see. What's the call? I wish, like, there was a way they could just push a button on a remote and let us know what the call is as they're conferring together. I mean, yeah, Johnny, my producer's like, it's $1 million idea. I'm full of them, man. I just know how to execute them. I got 1 million ideas. I mean, I have an idea for a tombstone where that tombstone is a video board. And it replays everything you posted on social media that day in your life so people know what you're into on that day specifically in all the years in the past. It's kind of morbid. It's kind of weird. But cease and desist, if you heard that, don't steal my idea. It's just one of my many great ones. If you want more information, you can email the show, cashingout@vsin.com, or tweet me, @DustinSweetelson. Looking at the replay, I think that's a Florida State penalty. I see one of their defenders having a face mask full of an SMU blocker. And I think that's the call. It's a face mask on Florida State. So that's going to be tacked on to the end of the play, I believe. Let's see where this ball is going to be spotted. SMU is up to a 6.5-point favorite in the market. Over 54.5 is -270. I'm happy I just said I leaned on the under and I didn't actually bet it here. It wasn't worth firing on because it feels like it's inevitable that SMU might be punching this in. But if I'm them, I'm using as much clock as possible. I want to be conservative here. Maybe it's too many years of playing Madden and just knowing the computer's going to burn me on the other side if I leave them enough time. But I think you can push them around at the line of scrimmage. I think you can bully them a bit here. And I take advantage that they're probably gassed. They've had so many things go in their direction tonight, Florida State. Oh, yeah, SMU is right on the edge of scoring. We're talking, what is that, the 5-10? I don't have a good angle of the – I want to say it's like the 11-yard line. I could check the box score. You know, that would help, Dustin, if you looked at things there. They present all the information to you. No, they haven't moved the ball yet in the box score either. 24 all is the score. We are letting the clock get down to the 2-minute warning, it looks like. SMU has the football. Florida State only has one timeout left. SMU has all three. Absolutely massive. This game has been drama since the beginning, actually, since before it even started. What happens if you're in an accident and the other driver doesn't have insurance or not nearly enough to cover? Suddenly you're stuck with medical bills, car repairs, and lost wages. That's where Lasso Injury Law steps in. Their experienced team knows the ins and outs of uninsured and underinsured motorist claims. They fight to make sure you're not left paying for someone else's mistakes. And if the worst ever happens, know that Lasso Injury Law is here for you. Call 702-625-8777 for your free consultation. No voicemail, no runaround, just real people ready to help. Lasso Injury Law. They fight for you because your future matters. Visit lassoinjurylaw.com or call 702-625-8777. You're listening to Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. 2-minute warning in Tallahassee. 24 all is the score. This matters, right? 48 points scored in the game thus far. Total closed at 55. Touchdown here puts us at 55, right? 48-7, 55. Then if there's another score after that, we can get over that number as well. Original opener of the number was 52.5. Got up to 55. So if you bet the over early, you're okay with a touchdown. If you're on the under right now, like I was thinking of betting but never actually fired on, you are hoping for an SMU field goal. I felt like there was going to be an SMU field goal in this drive. That face mask, I think, hurt it because it took away some space to work with to elongate this drive a little bit. I do think SMU is going to punch it in. For Florida State, this is just kind of the old like move as well. Let them score so you have as much time on the clock as possible to respond on the other end. I wonder if we're going to get overtime here. Do they have overtime posted at DraftKings right now? I highly doubt it with this drive currently going on. I don't see it. Let's see. No, they shouldn't have it up, but I just thought maybe there was a chance they would have it. Yeah, no. Both teams to score 25 points, that's plus 360. I guess that would technically be overtime potentially here. But yeah, that's not – the juice isn't worth the squeeze with that number. Instead, we're looking at a chance for SMU to pick up this win on the road. They're laying 5.5 in the market. 54.5 is the total. Florida State, 6.5-1 on the money line. They have no business winning this game. They have not been the better team. They've just benefited from a lot of sloppy play from the Mustangs, who were a team a lot of people were hyping up coming into the year to potentially make it to the ACC title game and meet the University of Miami there for a chance to win this league. We're in a commercial break there. Let me get you updated on the Major League Baseball as it's currently going on in Sacramento. Only game currently up, that is the A's on top of the Blue Jays 5-4. This game matters as far as the wild card picture is concerned for the Toronto Blue Jays. Cleveland lost earlier today to the Baltimore Orioles. That was a winner we had with Baltimore. We lost our second bet on the Padres run line at home. You should never bet on home teams on the run line. First five wasn't available last night. And you know what? I thought it was a tough spot for Washington coming off a late game against the Dodgers to go to San Diego and take on Nick Pivetta, who was very good in his first start off the IL since April. But back to Toronto. They're a half game behind the Guardians. If they can come back and win this game, they trail by one. We are currently in the eighth inning. They can be even up with Cleveland for that final wild card spot. Back to Tallahassee we go. Back from the two-minute warning. It is the 12-yard line where SMU is working at Florida State, and they are going to run the football, and they are going to take this thing down to the 6 or 7 yard line, depending on the spot. Clock's moving because Florida State doesn't have any timeouts, and that is unfortunate for Mike Norvell and the hot seat talk in a game that's been this competitive and this close, where you really shouldn't be in this one. SMU, I guess, technically shouldn't be in it. They're -4 in the turnover margin, but they've been the better team if you're watching the actual action. They're just being stupid. What does SMU do, and how long does Florida State have a chance with the football? Technically, SMU can pick up a first down and kneel it at around the 1.5-2 yard line. Curious to see how this shakes out as we're down to 1:14 to go. 2nd and 4 coming up. 24 all. SMU and Florida State. We'll take you through that. Plus, Richie Incognito joins from Australia next on Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out. You're on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
As we come back from break, SMU is lining up for a 20-yard field goal on 4th and 1 to go up 3 points on Florida State. Just 25 seconds remaining. Florida State has no timeouts left, and we await for the kick. It is up, and it is good. SMU is up 27-24. Why does that matter? The total closed at 55. They get a touchdown there. We would have pushed at 55 if you bet the over or the under, I guess. But now, at 51, we're looking at an under 55 unless Florida State can answer with a touchdown and then or a field goal, which would send us to overtime. And this is why I didn't lay the 3 with SMU and I went moneyline -140. I'll let you know how the final 21 seconds shake out there in Tallahassee, Florida. But right now, we have to go to the future. We're going to Australia. Richie Incognito joins us now. 14 years in the league, man. And now he's got a podcast. Check it out with Christian Fourier. It's called Initial Contact. At Initial Contact Show on YouTube, you can watch it. They have a great Instagram as well. They're available on all the major platforms. And Richie checks in from Australia now as he's going to be there for the Niners and the Rams. What's up, man? How are things going down under? What's the vibe like?
Been boots on the ground here in Melbourne for a couple days. Get to enjoy all the sights and the sounds of the city. It's great down here. It's a beautiful place. Everybody is super nice, super polite, super friendly. Killer restaurant scene, awesome coffee culture, great brunch spots. Been really impressed by the city of Melbourne.
Now, a big talking point for a lot of us here in the media, Richie, and I guess now you're a member of it, so welcome to the dark side officially. You were a Raider once. That's one element of being in the dark side. This is a new element of the dark side. But one of our big talking points is the different travel plans. You have the Rams basically showing up, getting off the plane, and playing the game. The Niners have been there for a couple days. You just went through this travel. What was it like for you, and has your body needed time to get acclimated?
You know, the travel wasn't too bad. We left the States around 11:30 p.m. from San Francisco. We flew 16 hours down. We were able to get a little sleep on the plane, hydrate, and we landed here. We landed here about 8 a.m. So that first day was a struggle, just staying up, being able to, like, make it to, like, 10:30 p.m. and get on their time. But we got in. We got a good night of rest. We woke up the next day, and that felt great. So, yeah, you have the two different thoughts. You have the San Francisco 49ers who have been down here all week. They're getting acclimated. It's definitely a lot colder than the training camp they just went through in Santa Clara. And then you have the Rams coming in. I think it's doable. I really do think it's doable to be able to just come down here, get a good night of sleep, get up and roll. But that's the exciting part. We get to see that on Friday take place down here.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. I can't believe we're playing an NFL game in Australia. Richie Incognito is with us, 14 years in the NFL, four-time Pro Bowler, has a new show, Initial Contact. Check it out, YouTube, Mondays and Fridays. Every new episode will drop then. YouTube.com/@Initial Contact Show there. How do you see these two teams matching up? The talk for 49ers coming into this one, Richie, a lot of injuries, but it sounds like they're going to be relatively back to full strength. The Rams on the other end, all the hype, the Super Bowl favorites at 5-1. They add Myles Garrett. They add Aaron Donald. They take the two corners from Kansas City. How do you think this thing plays out?
Yeah, you know, with the 49ers these last couple seasons, they look great on paper. But what team is showing up week one? What team is showing up week 10? Injuries have been their thing. You know, they are a great team. They have done a good job of putting pieces around. They just got to get everybody healthy. Rams, on the other end, they're the super team this year. They're the dream team. They got Super Bowl visions. They're excited to get going. We'll see. I love the addition of Myles Garrett. You know, you bring him in, he changes the entire defense. As an offensive lineman, we're always worried about blocking known rushers, and he is one of the best ever. Now you give him Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald is the wild card in this whole thing. He's coming back. He's had a couple of years off, but I think he'll come back situationally and he'll be able to impact the pass rush plan. And then you go over to the other side of the ball. You got reigning MVP Matt Stafford, Puka Nacua, Devontae Adams, Kyren Williams. You got their offensive line in place. There's a lot to love about the Rams. I took them today earlier on my show to win the Super Bowl. So, of course, I'm taking them to get the win down here in San Francisco. And I want to see. I want to see where the Rams are at. Can they repeat the success they had last year? You know, they were all world. They really played well through stretches of the season. They dominated football. And then in the playoffs, they had to take the long road in the playoffs. They had to go to Carolina. They had to go to Chicago. They wound up going up to Seattle, and Seattle got the best of them. But let's see what they can put forward this year. You know, the number one seed is definitely what they have their vision on. And hey, last time the Super Bowl was in LA, the LA Rams hoisted that trophy.
Absolutely. Richie Incognito is our guest. Check him out. Initial Contact is the show on YouTube, youtube.com/initialcontact with Christian Fourier. And they're breaking down the NFL Mondays and Fridays for all of that there. I'm just curious, as someone who's had to line up on the other side, what's it like? One, having to go up against Aaron Donald. Two, if you ever had to go face-to-face with Myles Garrett, because that's the challenge presented for every team that faces the Rams this year.
Absolutely. Aaron Donald, I got to practice a bunch of him when I was playing. The Raiders would go out and practice the Rams all the time, and that guy is unbelievable. He is such a smooth operator. He is strong. He is smart. His pass rush moves, I mean, he's literally giving you two and three pass rush moves before you even know what's going on. So Aaron Donald is a nightmare to block. Now you add Myles Garrett, and this is a whole different ball game now, because before you were able to focus on Aaron Donald, right? We could have a plan for him. He gets down over here. Okay, we're going to send the double team this way. Myles Garrett really opens up everything for them, and they are going to stress offensive protections. Offensive linemen do not like getting in their stance having Myles Garrett on one side and Aaron Donald on the other. Offensive coordinators are going to stay up late at night trying to figure this out. I just think the addition of Myles Garrett, he is such a dominant player and such a game wrecker. when the Rams, we know they have the offense, they get the lead. Can Myles Garrett just get a couple stops in the fourth quarter to get them off the field and get the win? Now you add Aaron Donald to the mix, that's just icing on the cake. That's just another person that these offensive coordinators have to account for. And I think it's really going to impact these young guys on this team. Kobe Turner, Landman, these young pieces on this defense will really be able to shine having these two superstars on the field.
Richie Incognito is with us, and an update in Tallahassee. SMU gets the win, 27-24, the final score. We go under the total. SMU minus three pushes, but the money line does get home, which I had at minus 140. Now, Richie, you and I were talking before you joined. The staff you guys had when you were on the Dolphins was crazy. Todd Bowles was there. Ben Johnson was there. Zach Taylor was there. But I want to begin with Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell and the Lions. Last year was a disappointment. This year feels like a rebound spot. They're the favorites to win the North. What do you like about Detroit this year, and how far do you think they can go?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to love up there. Dan Campbell's the man. He was on the staff in Miami. They basically just told him, hey, show up and hang out. We'll find a job for you. Winds up becoming the tight ends coach, winds up ultimately becoming the head coach. But love the playmakers that the Lions have. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams, Jahmyr Gibbs. Jared Goff can still spin it. I love the way Jared throws the ball. Get Gibbs going in the run game. Let Jared Goff tear him up in the play action game. So lot of talent. I think it really comes down to the offensive line for them. They got Penei Sewell. He's one of the premier guys in the league. Then they got a bunch of young guys. They're replacing Decker. They're replacing a couple other guys. How is that offensive line going to respond? Are they going to be able to open up big holes for Jahmyr and ultimately let them get to the play action game where Jared Goff is so good? And looking across the ball at the defense too, can their defense hold up? You know, the NFC North has grown up really, really quick with the Chicago Bears up there. Can they get stops? Can they get turnovers? Can they give the ball back to the offense, give the offense some more swings at bat? So lots to like up there in Detroit. I think it's offensive line and it's an injury thing. Can they get those young guys who were hurt last year healthy and back to being big time contributors?
Rich, we got about 90 seconds left. You were with Zach Taylor very early in his career. The Bengals, a lot of hype coming into the year. It's something I've fallen for in the past, but I really believe in Cincinnati this year. Do you think this is a team that can get back to a Super Bowl and maybe meet the Rams there back in Los Angeles again?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that this team, you look at the offensive line, they're returning all five starters. They need to protect Joe Burrow. You got Jamar Chase, T. Higgins. I mean, one of the best wide receiver duos in the NFL. Defense. This is all in on them. We were talking about this on the show before. This is make or break for Zach Taylor. This is it. He runs the offense. They need to keep Joe Burrow upright. They went all in for Dexter Lawrence. They traded away a top 10 pick to bring him in. Is he the guy that gets the defense shored up? I think so. I think he's an impact guy. But we got to see. We got to see what that secondary can do. Can they get stops? Can they get interceptions? I think the offense is primed and ready to go. Joe Burrow is the best of the best. They got a great wide receiver duo. They got Chase Brown. They got plenty of playmakers. It's going to come down to the big boys up front and that defense. That defense needs to play well late in the season.
He's Richie Incognito. You can check him out with Christian Fourier on their show, Initial Contact. Watch it on YouTube, youtube.com/Initial Contact Show. Also follow them, Instagram, Threads, Facebook, TikTok, X, and Snapchat. Richie, thanks for doing this today. Awesome stuff. Enjoy Australia and enjoy the game. Would love to chat down the road.
Awesome, man. Sounds good. Appreciate it.
Great stuff from Richie Incognito there. Checking in from the future in Australia. In the past, SMU just won. They didn't cover at Florida State. We'll recap what we saw in the ACC matchup on Monday night next on Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out. You're on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Final score in Tallahassee, SMU gets the win, 27-24. Welcome on back to Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson on VSiN, the sports betting network. It was a sloppy game. It was a weird game. It was an odd game from the jump. In case you missed it, we were delayed an hour and 40 minutes because of a power outage. Literally, they didn't have power for everything to go down on the field. We're talking no communication from the coaches to the quarterback or between coordinators and the rest of the staff. They weren't able to use iPads on the sideline. There was no PA announcer. The clock for most of the first half was being kept on the field. It was like a soccer game. They were just going to kind of tell us where things were in the action when it mattered and when it made sense for us. Eventually, they did get going at 9:15 p.m. Eastern time, and it got off to a very, very weird start. You wondered if they should even play the game. I was really considering that, but you think about it. It's an ACC game. They need this one. Two, their schedules don't align later on during the season to make this up down the road. So it impacts the conference. And on top of that, you have Florida State with a week off, but they want as much time to prepare for Alabama next week. SMU is hosting UC Davis on Saturday. They can't wait any longer to play this game. They got it in. I believe the right team won. The better team won. But man, did SMU try to give this thing away. In case you missed it, final score 27-24. If you laid three with SMU, you pushed. If you took three with Florida State, you pushed. That's why I went -140 on the money line. Something was funky about this line. SMU, a team that some thought could make the playoff, that could win the ACC. Why was it only a field goal after Florida State played with their food against New Mexico State in week zero? A lot of questions. I don't think we have a lot of answers after this one. I still don't know what SMU is because this was an undisciplined team. And that is very uncharacteristic of Rhett Lashley in his tenure, specifically with Kevin Jennings as his quarterback. Kevin Jennings has been like such a disciplined guy, plays within the structure of the system, makes clutch plays. Look, the stat line looks good. 26 of 36 for 430, three touchdowns, did have two interceptions though. We have to point that out. And one of them was brutal. One was in the end zone with a chance to go up two scores in the third quarter. Just a crucial mistake, which Florida State came back the other way and I believe tied it up after that possession. But SMU was sloppy from the beginning of this game. They fumbled on the opening drive. They had a offsides penalty on a Florida State field goal, which I think was actually following the interception I just referenced, where Florida State settled for a field goal. SMU was offsides. Florida State then gets another crack at it, and they wind up scoring in that game. This thing was tied in the fourth quarter. SMU had to march downfield, use up a ton of clock, and kick a game-winning field goal. I didn't even mention that we also had a situation where SMU tried to field a punt that had no business trying to be fielded by the return man, and that led to a turnover, and Florida State took over. They just did not look crisp, man. I don't like what I saw from SMU. Now, it was week one. Florida State had a game under their belt. Sometimes that can happen here. But fact of the matter is, SMU got the win. That's what matters big picture. If you were betting this thing, we go under the total of 55. It opened at 52.5. It got bet up to 55. All numbers go under as far as that's concerned. If you laid 2.5, which was available for, you know, random times over the last few days, you were pretty good with SMU. If you were able to get a 3.5, I'm not sure if we ever reached 3.5 in this game. Either way, it was weird, man. That's why I ultimately decided on the money line. In terms of the props that got home, Kevin Jennings well over his passing yard prop of 430 he had in the game. The number was 280 plus for him. Ashton Daniels goes way under on the other end. His prop was set at 220. He had 123, 12 of 23 passing and a touchdown through the air, one on the ground as well. More on that from Daniels in just a bit. As far as the passing touchdowns, Jennings goes over his 2 plus. That was -180. Daniels under the 2 plus. So the 2 plus would have been +120. There wasn't an under option over at DraftKings when I looked. In terms of receiving props that get home, Yannick Smith, the ECU transfer, 5 for 107 and a touchdown in this game. Yannick Smith's prop was set at 40. Randy Pittman had 5 for 75 and a touchdown. Pittman was not available in the receiving yard market, but he had a monster day. Jalen Cooper was. He had 4 for 71. Cooper's number was 40 plus, obviously almost doubles that in the contest. And Yamir Knight, his number was 60 plus. He goes under with 49 on 6 catches. So you got the volume from the slot guy, Yamir Knight, but he doesn't go over on the yardage in the game. For Florida State, Sam Singleton led the way 2 for 40 through the air. He was not bettable pregame. Deuce Robinson, he doesn't come close to his number of 70 plus. He had 2 catches for 26 yards. That, I'll tell you this, if you're Mike Norvell and your job's on the line, you might want to find a way to get the ball into your best player's hands. He only had two catches on the day. Like, Deuce Robinson's a game changer. And he probably could have made a lot of money in the portal market had he wanted to shop himself. Instead, he stayed in Florida State. Man, it's tough to lose a game by a field goal and your best player only touches the ball two times in terms of catches. Mekhi Dansey, their second best receiver, he had 2 for 18. That's under on 42 receiving yards for him. And Javon Boggs, he had 3 for 23. That goes under. He had 25 as his receiving yard prop. In terms of rushing in the game, the running back for Florida State, Usman Kroma, ran 22 times, 120 yards, one touchdown, 5.5 yards per pop for number 32 out of Leesburg, Georgia. His rushing yard prop was set at 64 plus, so he obviously goes over that one. Ashton Daniels clears his rushing yards of 40 with 65 rushing yards on 15 carries for him. He did score a touchdown on the ground. Sam Singleton goes under his 32 yards rushing with just 24 in the game. Kendrick Raphael on the other side for SMU, he clears his rushing yardage of 60 with 12 carries, 75 yards on the ground. Your anytime touchdown scorers that get home. Kroma, minus $1.60 cashes. Sam Singleton, minus 105. Ashton Daniels was plus $1.20. Your first touchdown of the game was Jalen Cooper. He was plus 205. Yannick Smith, plus 215 gets home. And Randy Pittman found pay dirt for plus 260 in this game. The big elements that jump out to me, though, just to show how different, despite the close score, these two teams were today. SMU had 585 total yards of offense. Florida State had 329. Florida State only had 123 passing yards to SMU's 430. Let's keep that in the old noggin for later. I think teams are going to throw all over the secondary for Florida State this year. The Mustangs average 11.9 yards per pass to 5.3 for Florida State. Ashton Daniels can't throw the football, and that's a horrible recipe when you're going to be losing a lot in these games if you're Florida State. SMU also converted on third down in the action on Monday. 8 of 14 on third down. Florida State was 2 of 14 on third down. SMU committed more penalties, still found a way to win the game. They had 4 turnovers as well. The Florida State's one, and their one turnover for the Noles came on the final play of the game, just trying to throw laterals, and SMU ended up picking up the ball and going down to end the game. So in the end, SMU does not cover the 3. They do get home on the money line. It got up to, I think, minus 150-ish. I had minus 140. We go under the total of 55 in the contest. Now, do we have a lineup, a look ahead for a couple weeks from now with Florida State taking on Alabama? Alabama still has to go and face Kentucky this week, where they're laying 10.5 on the road. I actually like Kentucky. I bet them on Sunday plus 10.5 when I saw that number. Look, they're not looking ahead to Florida State, but it is a big matchup. It's more that you have a first-time quarterback making his first-ever road start in conference in his second game ever. You're asking a lot out of Keelan Russell, and I think Kentucky has a very much improved roster. I'm on their win total over. I don't think they're winning this game, but I think they can stay within 10.5 with Alabama coming to town. I just want to see, because as the game ended, I should have pulled this up, but I didn't have it available. Alabama, Kentucky, Alabama. I don't see Alabama in a look-ahead line for a couple weeks now against Florida State, but I have to imagine we're looking at a spot there where Alabama is going to be pretty favored, even if they have a tough one in Lexington, even if they were to somehow lose this game in Lexington. It's in T-Town. It's in Tuscaloosa. I don't see this Florida State hanging with an SEC team. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. For SMU on the other side, they are going to host UC Davis on Saturday. But big picture, I have a lot of questions about this team. They got to clean it up, man. You can't use the excuses of being thrown off by all the issues earlier, because none of their mistakes today came because of miscommunications and technology and power playing a role. It was sloppy, undisciplined football at several different points for both the offense and the special team specifically. You got to clean it up. They're plus 520 to win the ACC. I would much rather have Louisville at 7.5 to 1. I'd much rather have Virginia at plus 1550. And realistically, the way to bet it is to make the ACC title game. So to look at that, SMU's plus 150. The team I saw tonight is not making the ACC championship game. Louisville's plus 205. Virginia's 4 to 1. I'd even consider Pitt at plus 475 before I bet this SMU squad to make the ACC title game. Hey, if you missed our NFL Futures Draft, you can see all 130 selections from the 13 hosts by going to VSiN.com/download. VSiN.com/download. Check out the Pro Football Futures Draft in a free PDF.